what was the key point the Prime Minister was making, or was this basically a message to karyakartas of the party congratulating them on this victory?
I think the speech had multiple messages.
Yeah.
There was a message to the nation. There was a message to people across the world, especially in terms of the Jammu and Kashmir election. There was a message to party workers. And of course, I think in some ways, the Prime Minister has launched the campaign for the Jharkhand and the Maharashtra
yeah.
elections.
That's right.
Yeah. And in a sense, he has completed the speech he started after the 2024 Lok Sabha election.
Yes.
Now, in that sense, today's speech was a supplementary to that speech, because that day there were many things which could not have been said, which actually were said as part of today's speech.
Yes,
so I think in that sense, it's a very well planned and curated speech that he came up
yes,
with today.
Yes, so I think, yes, Prime Minister Modi is also sending a message as to how he sees his own mandate of 2024. Taking forward that mandate, his reading of 2024 Lok Sabha mandate and this victory, and how the road ahead of the BJP is going to be. Nija, you know, when we saw Prime Minister after the results of Lok Sabha polls, at 240, he looked relatively not the jubilant Modi that we have seen. It was same old form of aggression, of leading the BJP.
That's true, and his sharp attack on the yeah. Congress continues, because Congress is going to be, it's the party that's going to give them the tucker in Maharashtra, Jharkhand. So therefore, I mean, you are absolutely right, he's preparing
speech,
for the elections.
Huh? This was an election speech in as much as it was a speech
yes.
thanking, party workers. He continued with the assault, as it were, on the Congress party on so many grounds. To me, this looked like easily, as Maria said, setting the agenda for the next elections, Jharkhand, Maharashtra, Delhi, etc., etc. Would you agree?
Absolutely, setting the tone for the next election.
It hasn't waited for a minute.
And the announcement is expected to come within hours of elections
right.
in Jharkhand and Maharashtra.
So, I mean, the model code of conduct will be in place. We'll know about Maharashtra dates very soon now.
Right.
And here is the Prime Minister sending a message again that this victory is his. And as much as it is of the local leadership,
yes.
he did talk about it.
He specifically mentioned the names of the current and
yes.
the former Chief Minister.
Former Chief
okay.
Minister.
All right. All of you, hold on for half a second. Let me just, it's top of the hour, 9 p.m. Bring to our viewers what it is that we are talking about. A huge day for the country, for our democracy, for our polity, for our institutions. Two very important states went to polls. They have voted. What you see on the screen over there are results. Haryana, let's look at the right first, 90 out of 90. The BJP coming out on top. Despite what exit polls said, it is the BJP which has won these elections quite convincingly. If you look at Jammu and Kashmir, again, all 90 seats, these are all results. It's the Congress and National Conference which have come to power, a resounding success of the National Conference. The Congress winning just a handful of seats, far lower than what they had last time around. But it is the National Conference and Omar Abdullah, who will be Chief Minister, who've done very well there. So over the next 1 hour, we'll be joined by very special guests who participated in these elections, who have been analyzing these elections as we go through what has happened in the last 24 hours. One more point, Maria. It was what, at about 9 in the morning when the laddus came out?
Yes.
In Congress?
And by 10:30 they were inside.
Right.
So they were packed up.
Just
and then
goes
they were
to show.
Replaced by jalebis. So that also shows the beauty of democracy.
It also goes to show that once again, those early votes which come in, the early leads which come in, the postal ballots,
don't.
They indicate absolutely nothing.
So basically,
so
don't celebrate too early is the message that has been the case. Multiple elections, so you know, by 10:30, 11, when these numbers started consolidating, and it reversed completely
very
from
fast.
What was seen as an election where the Congress was, you know, convincingly going to win, became about the BJP winning its best ever performance in a state where they have been in power for 10 long years. So this is a pro-incumbency vote for the BJP in Haryana. A lot of things for the party to celebrate. There has been the social engineering which has yielded political dividends for the party. The Naib Singh Saini experiment has worked. This is counter-polarization of the Jat voters, which has happened as well. More than that, it has given that momentum, or should I say that Sanjeevani, that the BJP needed after the Lok Sabha polls, so that when they enter into the next set of elections in Maharashtra and Haryana, they can do so with all the excitement, Neerja Chaudhary.
Absolutely a morale booster for the elections that lie ahead, no doubt about it. But the leadership of the BJP can take satisfaction from the way the elections have gone in Jammu and Kashmir. Peaceful, free and fair, a politically stable government is going to come into being, and elections after 10 long years. And in a state on the peripheries of India, which has been troubled for a very, very long time, now where the political process has been restored. It's a big thing. It's something to be satisfied.
Lots to celebrate, lots to think. But I think it is the Congress which needs a lot of introspection now onwards, because that momentum that they had after the Lok Sabha, you know, better performance, it's not really a victory of sorts. They did do better. With this result, the Congress has managed to, would you say, demoralize the entire India bloc?
It is undoubtedly a setback and possibly reduces their bargaining power in Maharashtra and in Jharkhand. We saw something similar happening once they lost Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan.
Right.
Their similar bargaining power went down, and that's something which they will need to deal with,
sure,
with the immediate elections they are going to face now.
Supriya Srinath, spokesperson of the Congress Party, joins us. Good evening, Supriya. You know, it's been a difficult election at so many counts for the Congress, Haryana and Jammu and Kashmir. Of course, you are coming to power in Jammu and Kashmir. But let's talk about Haryana. These election results have come as a surprise for the Congress Party. Does the party accept these results? Because we've seen Jairam Ramesh write to the Election Commission. The Election Commission responds saying that, no, it's been a fair process. As far as the Congress is concerned, is that an accept? Have you accepted that answer? Or do you intend to continue challenging these results?
So first and foremost, a good evening to you and to my fellow panelists here on the show this evening. And Vishnu, no, I'm not going to start with Haryana. I will start with J&K and I will answer your direct question on Haryana. It almost seems, and I'm not making you an exception, but it almost seems that the only results that came today were from Haryana. The reality is that the India bloc, and yes, we were a part of that coalition, maybe a smaller part, we have won, and we have won big in Jammu and Kashmir, and the BJP has been resoundingly rejected, especially given the tall claims that they were making for Jammu Kashmir, for the false promises of peace. None of that has really gelled with the voters, and Jammu and Kashmir has given a very strong message to the BJP, to the people of this country, that after independence, it was the first state to be stripped of its statehood. They do not take this lying down, and you must restore statehood as early as possible. So I am extremely grateful, thankful, and I take this verdict with folded hands as far as Jammu Kashmir is concerned. Haryana, you are absolutely right, has not gone to our liking. The numbers are a lot lower than what we had expected. You can't brush away some of the concerns that my senior colleague Jairam Ramesh has raised. You cannot also brush away some of the instances that have come to report about EVMs being 99% battery and all of that. Having said so, I will take this as a verdict of the people, but that does not mean that the issues that we raise, and I'm very proud of the fact that the Congress stood with the issues of the people, whether it was the issues of the farmers, the youth of Haryana, the wrestlers of Haryana. We stood with these issues, and I do believe these issues resonate on the ground. It's a little puzzling for me. Why have we ended up where we have? And I'm sure there will be internal assessments made. But as far as Haryana is concerned, the reality is that all of you calling it pro-incumbency vote, actually, I have an issue with that. If it was so much of a pro-incumbency vote, the BJP wouldn't have had to change its chief minister, its deputy chief minister, and its president in the last 6 months.
Yeah, but Supriya, the fact is they're coming to power for the third time. So, I mean, in that sense,
I also want to point out one thing. No, I am picking a hole in the argument on pro-incumbency. Pro-incumbency is a wrong argument. And it's a wrong argument because if they had gone with Mr. Khattar, or if they had gone with the previous deputy chief minister or with the president of the BJP in the past, I would have said it is pro-incumbency. They changed the faces. They're coming back to power. It's still puzzling to me. I will take this verdict. I also have one more thing to say. With all due respect to the mandate that the people of Haryana have delivered, there is a reality And that reality cannot be ignored. And the reality is that in 2019 Haryana elections, Mr. Modi did not one, not two, but 18 rallies. He was kept away from the Haryana election this time around. He did only four. And it looks like the BJP has fared better in his absence. Mr. I think that's some food for thought that you should talk and discuss about.
Mr. Nitin, one issue is also, did like Madhya Pradesh, did the Congress rely heavily on the Hudas? The reason why I'm saying is that in Madhya Pradesh, again, it was seen as a winning battle for the Congress party, but there was over-reliance on Mr. Kamal Nath. Did the same story play out also in Haryana?
Absolutely not, Maria, and I respect your question, but I refute it with equal fervor, and I will tell you why. Elections and the analysis is not as simplistic. Just because your numbers didn't come, we were over-relying on one person. No, it was a collective leadership that we went into. Randeep ji, Shailja ji, the Huda family, they were all, Uday Bhanji, we were all collectively contesting this election. So if we are not going to fare well, we are not going to be gluttonous and say this person was responsible. I do believe there are various factors that impact an election. And I think we will do an internal analysis. Reducing it to one simplistic factor, I think, is not... I'm not a political novice who will do that.
Fair enough, Supriya. But so let me therefore list five other factors. And perhaps it's an over-dependence on Jat vote, some would suggest. Candidate selection, a failure to consolidate the anti-BJP vote among, let us say, those who otherwise would have agreed with the Congress party, missteps during your campaign, and perhaps a lack of announcing a clear chief ministerial candidate. Would you say that these are other factors which the Congress would at least look at as perhaps reasons why you didn't win?
You know, we will look at various factors of why we did not make gains on the kind of wave there was in Haryana. I'm sure we're going to dwell upon all of these factors. But I will say that, you know, when you succeed, it is that one single factor. When you fail, everybody is going to be a political analyst. I take it all, and I take it all very humbly. But the reality is that there are multiple factors. If I were to turn around and say that the BJP did not cross 400 in the 2024 campaign and only stuck at 240, or they were reduced to half their tally in Haryana because of one factor, I will be politically juvenile to say that, and I'm not going to say that. There were multiple factors that worked against the BJP in the Lok Sabha. There were perhaps multiple factors that worked against us in Haryana this time around. But I will say there are issues in Haryana that continue to resonate. Issues in Haryana that they will continue to be, we will continue to raise. And I will say, without blaming it squarely on one factor, I will say the instances that have been brought to notice before the Election Commission need to be looked into, because people of Haryana are questioning why certain EVMs had 99% battery, why did one party lose there and another party win. I think these are questions that should be answered by the Election Commission of India. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. We also have Tarun Upadhyay, senior journalist from Kashmir, joining us here in the studio, Neerja Chaudhary, and also Professor Sandeep Shastri. Tarun Upadhyay, not much of a surprise in Jammu and Kashmir. It is the NC Congress, which is all set to form the government. What do you think are interesting reading for particularly the PDP? Lessons learned on what front? With Iltija Mufti, the daughter of Mehbooba Mufti losing her own, losing the seat as well.
See, Maria, thanks a lot for inviting. There are two, three factors which are to be highlighted as far as the Jammu verdict, J&K verdict is concerned. Firstly, it was a verdict valley against the policies of the Modi government. The entire valley gravitated behind the National Congress. And the reason for it, the National Congress is one of the oldest party of the Kashmir region, and it has does have some shades in the Jammu region also. And secondly, the PDP had formed the government with the BJP in 2014, and the PDP was blamed for bringing BJP into the governance for the first time in JNK. And that is the reason. And it was also seen as a party being propped up by the quote-unquote central agencies, like a B-team of the BJP. A perception was created like that. So the entire valley gravitated behind the National Conference, which has been vociferously opposing the abrogation of Article 370 and also the Article 35A. Secondly, it is the important takeaway from this verdict is that it is after the first time in 2022 years that
Okay, we have Pradeep Bhandari also joining us of the BJP. Let's have him on the screen too. Pradeep, of course, just a few minutes back, Prime Minister delivered his speech at the BJP headquarters, and that celebration which is happening at every mandal across India is playing out as well. The point being made here by Supriya is also with regards to what they think are some kind of malfunction of the EVM machines. You know, they have to have faith in the electoral process. I mean, if as a principal opposition party, do you think the Election Commission should clear all the doubts?
Well, the Congress party is a sad.
Yes.
The Congress party is that when the results go in the favor, they, you know, start saying that everything is fine. And when the results do not go,
connect with Pradeep in just a bit. There seems to be some problem with that line. Professor Sandeep Shastri, when we look at the overall numbers in Haryana, big takeaways we have been discussing, what does it do to the BJP campaign now onwards? In Haryana, it was a localized campaign, low decibel campaign, and the focus on local leadership as well.
Now, one important difference you will find between Jharkhand and Haryana is, in Haryana, the BJP was defending a government which they had for the last 10 years, whereas in Jharkhand, they will be going against a government which is there of the opposition. And in Maharashtra, they have to defend a government which is the coalition government of which they were a part. So I think Jharkhand and Maharashtra have very different situations, and what the BJP, as I see, would do would curate a campaign, curate a strategy, curate a set of issues relevant to that particular state to help them take their agenda forward. So I don't think that there is a common print that would be used for all these elections. I think the context of that election would specifically define the content of their campaign.
Yes, so context defining content, and that's also something to do with course correction which has happened post the results of, the Lok Sabha polls. So, Nirja, take that thought forward. You know, here is the party which has realized that some lot of things went wrong in the Lok Sabha polls. Although they are in power, they are trying to ensure that they, when going ahead with assembly elections, they don't get their narrative wrong. They did not have an overarching theme either in this election.
Yes, they concentrated on local issues.
Yes.
And also, you know, they have organizational superiority as far to the Congress. And that's a huge machinery. And last mile, you know, making it. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Last mile making. And the point I was making is, you know, it's a very creditable performance by the NC Congress together in Jammu and Kashmir. But if you look at it, Congress is only 8 seats. And there is so much goodwill in J&K for Rahul Gandhi. I mean, I've seen it myself, talk to people. Why has the Congress not got its act together, converted that goodwill into votes and seats?
Okay, so perhaps Supriya can respond to that. Ma'am, would you respond to this point? The goodwill that
Absolutely,
Rahul Gandhi has in Srinagar?
You know, Maria, and again, with all due respect to Nirja ji, I will say here, when elections are fought in a coalition, we both stand to gain off each other. I mean, the numbers that show on your screen right now of 49 is a stunning number. That stunning number is not because of NC alone or Congress alone. That stunning number is because the goodwill of Rahul Gandhi translated. And yes, there were more seats that the NC contested in the valley. And you know, they obviously stand to gain more. Should we have done better in Jammu? Absolutely, without a doubt, any day of the week. But I don't think when an election is fought in a coalition, you can turn around and say that one partner did well and the other partner did not. It's
no,
the coalition that has
that
to be
correct?
Assessed. Just like the coalition was assessed in Uttar Pradesh. We were in a coalition, but because of us, certain votes were transferred to the SP candidates that were traditionally not transferred. Okay. And you would know that better than anybody else.
But Supriya, if you look at the numbers, the Congress is actually down 6 from last time. In 2014, you had 112. You're actually down to 6 this time.
6 is it?
So in as much as you've come to power or you're coming to power in Jammu and Kashmir, the performance of the Congress itself seems to be you know, I mean, but I do, relatively
but
low.
Vishnu, no, but Vishnu, I still believe that the numbers, that final tally is a result of the Congress and the NC coming together. It's a synergy that, you know, put that tally on the table. It is not because NC was doing something alone and we were doing something
but
alone.
Would you
fact,
like
you
to have had
me,
more of a
I
mark
would,
in Jammu? Did, has the Congress
I wanted,
underperformed
I
in Jammu?
I would have wanted us to contest far many more seats in Kashmir. There is no denying that. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, yes, we would have wanted more numbers on the table as far as Jammu is concerned. I will say one thing with Jammu Kashmir before you go any further. The BJP did everything to polarize that election. The BJP released Rashid Engineer, who was not even released for his own campaign in Lok Sabha. The BJP tried to get all sorts of people to contest elections. They had independents, they had separatists, they had everybody there. They still could not do it. The reality is that the BJP kept talking about peace in Jammu and Kashmir, whereas 26 terror strikes have happened in the last 110 days. So Jammu and Kashmir has delivered a very strong message. And actually that message is even stronger than the message in Haryana, if you ask me. It's a very, very decisive verdict, and they've delivered a very strong message. It's good if the BJP reads it. It's good for national politics.
Okay. We will be joined by Omar Abdullah, the man of the moment.
In just
moment
a few
now.
Moments.
Yes.
But go ahead, Maria.
Yes. So, you know, we will. There's lots to ask him. And Professor Sandeep Shastri and Nirja both will be, you know, joining us in that conversation.
It's fascinating if you talk about Omar Abdullah himself, in as much as you talk about the resurgence of the NC. Yeah. If you talk about the resurgence of Omar Abdullah, here's a man who just in the Lok Sabha elections, you know, was felled by 2 lakh votes, is back with the bank, said he didn't want to contest assembly,
and
is going to be
seats.
Chief Minister one more time, winning both the seats, and returning as Chief Minister.
If you look at the, while Supriyaji's point is correct that it was an alliance which fought the election, but if you look at the strike rate of the NC and the strike rate of the Congress,
yes,
you see a vast difference. The Congress,
right.
NC strike rate is something like 80% or something, whereas the Congress strike rate is much lower. Mm-hmm. And I would believe that is linked to the fact that the principal fight of the Congress was with the BJP in the Jammu region,
yes,
where it did not do so well. So I think, while I concede the point that you need to talk of an alliance
because it
both
was a pre-poll alliance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. You know, it was the pre-poll alliance, but what happens to Mehbooba Mufti is PDP now?
Well, that's also a big challenge. Mehbooba Mufti has suffered because of her alliance with the BJP over the years. She's lost as many as 40 senior leaders, and she's fighting with her back to the wall. So I think, and to keep her party relevant, that is going to be the big, big challenge. But even just a comment on the Congress. While the Congress is paying attention to building up Rahul Gandhi's political persona, it's not giving as much attention to rebuilding its organization. Whereas it has to be pitted against a party which is very strong organizationally.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Okay. So Omar Abdullah is going to join us in perhaps a few moments from now.
All right, he's with us right now. I'm told Omar Abdullah logging in right now. Let's go straight across to Omar Abdullah very much, the man of the moment. Thank you, Mr. Abdullah, very much for being with us.
And congratulations.
And congratulations. You won both your seats this time around. The margin of your win and of the performance of the National Conference, be honest with us, is it better than what you had expected?
Sorry. Actually, yes, I didn't expect as many seats as this. I think our expectations, or personally my expectations, were tempered by the parliament loss a couple of months ago. So I didn't want to get carried away with what to expect. But I'm humbled and deeply grateful to the voters for the mandate that they've given us.
You know, I was I noticed that you didn't lose yourself a sense of humor this morning when a reporter asked you about whether you were going to win the elections. You said he'd come to a place to run during the assembly elections. When you were leading, you went back home and you'd lost. Quite clearly, that didn't happen. That didn't happen this time around.
Thank goodness not. I was a little worried about that.
And how do you look at the performance of your alliance partner, Mr. Abdullah? The Congress.
Look, I'm sure the Congress will do its own soul searching. I can be greedy and say, look, we could have done with a few more seats. Anybody could have. We could have done with 50, 60, 70. But look, I'm grateful for as many as we've got. We've crossed the halfway mark. the Congress was instrumental in this alliance in getting us here. As I said in a few interviews during the campaign, for the national conference, the alliance with the Congress was less about seats and more about perception. We knew that the handful of seats we were going to be giving the Congress, particularly in the Valley, were seats that we would otherwise have won. But for us, it was important to give the voters the sense that this was an alliance that could form a government without the need of the BJP. And that was important for us in the national conference.
In terms of elections in Kashmir, and particularly in the Valley, it's regional sentiment and identity politics play such an important part. That's obviously something which you have banked on during your election campaign. It's also something which the PDP was potentially banking on. But they've had a disastrous run. They're down 25 from last time. So in terms of the politics of identity and in cashing or working with regional sentiment, do you believe that it's the national conference alone in Jammu and Kashmir, which owns that space as a result of these elections?
Look, nobody owns space permanently. You have to continue to work to occupy space. I mean, this was space that we ceded for a few elections. So it's space that the National Conference currently occupies, but we can't take it for granted. It's not space that's given to us in perpetuity. We need to work to continue to remain relevant to the voters. The voters have given us a resounding opportunity. Now we have to live up to that opportunity and to prove ourselves worthy of that verdict. One of the challenges we are going to have, and I'm sure this would have been a question coming up, is that this government, when it does get formed, will have far less participation from Jammu than should have been there. Jammu has voted almost overwhelmingly for the BJP. Now, this government, when it is formed, will have to redouble its efforts to give a sense of ownership to the people of Jammu. We will have to convince the people of Jammu that this government is not just for the National Conference and the Congress. It's not just for the people who voted for us. This government is for every single person in Jammu and Kashmir, be it a National Conference voter, a Congress voter, a BJP voter, or a person who didn't vote at all. It's going to be a challenge, but it's sure. Something we're going to have to do.
What about working with the centre on some of your core issues? For example, on Article 370's revocation in 2019, a lot of people would say, look, that is done and dusted, irrespective of what you may feel. You do, of course, need to work with the centre for all sorts of reasons for Jammu and Kashmir, not least of all, development. Are you willing to take a look at your relationship with the BJP and at the centre afresh in order to govern?
And also the Raj Bhavan in Srinagar.
Yeah, look, none of us are foolish enough, nor did we try and convince the voters that we were going to work on our 370 agenda with this current government in Delhi. We know that you're not going to get it back from the government that took it away from you. So set that aside for now. Our immediate priority is to work with the government in Delhi to get statehood back for Jammu and Kashmir. Now, in that respect, I believe that the Prime Minister is an honourable man. He has promised the people of Jammu and Kashmir that statehood will be restored. He promised it in every single speech that he made while campaigning here. The Honourable Home Minister did the same. And therefore, once the government is formed, I'd like to believe that the Chief Minister will come to Delhi, talk to the Prime Minister and others, and establish a good working relationship. A hostile relationship is not in the interest of the people of Jammu and Kashmir. I don't believe it's in the interest of the Union government either. I don't think the government of India will benefit in any way by having any sort of hostile difficult relationship with Jammu and Kashmir. Jammu and Kashmir has enough problems as it is. We have hostile neighbors on both sides. We don't need a hostile relationship with Government of India as well. So it would be my advice to the incoming government in J&K to move to have a good working relationship with Government of India, and at the same time figure out a working relationship with Raj Bhavan for the duration that we're a union territory. We're going to have to figure out how to work together. Now, unfortunately, with this lieutenant governor, we have no relationship at all. If there has been one, it's been one that's been a little hostile rather than anything else. So we're going to have to restart from a fresh page and figure out a good working relationship there as well.
important words over there, a conciliatory tone that seems absolutely clear. Mr. Abdullah, you spoke about hostile neighbors. We face a law and order and a terrorism-related situation south in the Jammu region, the greater Jammu region now. In a sense, terrorism has always moved from the valley to that region. The number of casualties among security forces has gone up. Do you see security as being one of your primary concerns as you come to power, dealing this new facet of terrorism?
Well, I would like it to be, I would like to have the responsibility of dealing with it. But right now we don't. As a union territory, the responsibility for security, law and order, policing is the responsibility of the lieutenant governor. Hmm. And therefore what happens on a security front, attacks in Jammu, are something he has to deal with. I do hope that Jammu and Kashmir gets statehood back and gets it back quickly. Then the elected government will be responsible as in other states. And then we will do right by Jammu and ensure that that peace and calm is restored.
Okay, Mr. Abdullah, of course, you don't need PDP. You are going to form this government. You have the number to form the government. But would you extend that offer for them to join the government to make it more inclusive, because make it about Gupkar?
It's honestly not a thought that's crossed our minds. At the moment, making this government more inclusive with regard to Kashmir is not the challenge. The challenge is to make this government more inclusive for the people of Jammu. And unfortunately, the PDP doesn't have any seats from Jammu.
Okay, Professor Sandeep Shastri, Omar has a question for you. Professor Shastri, go ahead.
Congratulations, Omarji, on this victory. And it is wonderful to hear these sentiments of yours of wanting to work in collaboration with the center. But with the National Conference also being a part of the India coalition, would the realities of politics somewhere come in the way, because there would be the larger picture of how politics shapes up between the India coalition on the one hand and the NDA on the other? So do you see any complication coming up because of that factor?
The wider India coalition's responsibilities are largely the Congress parties in the rest of the country. And again, I would like to believe that the Congress party will be responsible enough not to try and push the government of Jammu and Kashmir into an antagonistic relationship with the union government. If we're not looking for a fight, I don't think one should be forced on us. Jammu and Kashmir is now not due a major election for at least 4.5 years. You have 4.5 years before the parliament election, 5 years for the next assembly election. I think we need to give time for this government to work, and it'll have to work in partnership, in a relationship with the union government.
All right, those are very important words over there. One final question. I know the Congress has won just a handful of seats compared to you, just six. But there would perhaps be expectations of certain ministerial berths. Has there been any conversation with the Congress leadership, if not on berths, then on anything else, post these results coming out?
Well, Rahul was kind enough to call my father and offer his congratulations. I had a call from Kargeji, and he offered his congratulations for both the performance of the National Conference and for the alliance as a whole. But beyond that, there have been no conversations. The National Conference is yet to elect its legislative party leader, at which point in time we'll sit down with the allies and see what has to be done.
All right. Omar Abdullah.
Okay. There is a question coming in from Neerja Chaudhary as well.
We aren't going to let you go that
just
easily,
30
Omar.
Seconds more. Yes.
30 seconds more.
Are you all set to become the next chief minister of J&K?
Am I set to become the next chief minister
yes.
of J&K?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know. That's for the legislative
party. But your father said that you are the next chief minister.
I know. I knew that was coming.
Yes.
My father does tend to sort of get in before anybody else.
Well, you asked him a question. He gave us an answer. There's no reason to believe you aren't going to be the chief minister now, is there?
No, I will just say this much, that the legislative party of the National Conference is yet to meet, after which the alliance has to meet as well. Once those two are on the same page, then we'll know who the chief minister
All
is.
Right.
All
so
right.
So there is a process over there. Thank you, Omar Abdullah, very much the man of the moment in Jammu and Kashmir. Congratulations on a fantastic election performance. Very important message over there, Maria and Nija. I think a very strong message of, I don't know if the word reconciliation is correct, but reaching out to the center, saying let's work together. And some important words.
He's given us a huge news point.
Yes, yes, yes.
Set aside 370 for now. We want good relationship near Delhi. For him to say that we want good relationship, he understands that there has to be a friendly equation between the center and Jammu and Kashmir to ensure that the development processes do not suffer.
That's huge. On trust and reconciliation, yes. I think, were very important words.
And he said, set aside 370, something to, I think, close to those words. Set aside 370 for now. That's been a key issue. And a genuine effort at reaching out, saying that we don't want to be antagonistic to the center. The center has no reason to be antagonistic to us. Therefore, I think the future, from a pragmatic standpoint, for the people of Jammu and Kashmir is bright. And I think also the message that, you know, we would like to have done more in the Jammu region, but as a party, we have to ensure that we reach out to people over there, work for them.
We have another newsmaker joining us now from Jammu right now. And he is he's someone who actually scripted that big victory for the BJP, you know, 29 in Jammu region, you know.
Incredible performance over there.
Yes, Vishnu. He'll be joining us any moment now. We are waiting for Ram Madhav to join us, but a quick break and then we return with the newsmaker on the other side. And we are going to go straight to Jammu, where the architect of the BJP's performance, Ram Madhav, is joining us, BJP in charge of Jammu and Kashmir. Mr. Ram Madhav was brought in to this role and then we saw this phenomenal performance of your party. Congratulations, Mr. Ram Madhav. How do you look at the party's performance?
Thank you. And let me at the outset clarify that this performance, which is a spectacular performance, no doubt, but that is not because of me joining a month ago. A lot of effort has gone into it in the last couple of years from our leaders in Delhi, like Shri Amit Bhai himself and others, but also our state team, state leadership, our party in charges. Everybody has done a lot of groundwork, and I just entered a month ago. We all have collectively worked towards this good victory. I would consider it as a very, very significant victory for BJP. I also worked in 2014 elections in this state. I'm sure you all remember that. The victory at that time was also a very big victory. We won 25 seats at that time. This time we won 29 seats. But the importance of this result is that we won almost all the seats, I would say, of the main Jammu region. If you exclude the Doda Kishtwad and what generally is described in this area as Peer Panchal region, the entire Jammu voted for BJP. And that's the reason why today BJP stands as the number one party in terms of vote share. We have close to 26% vote share as against NC's 24%. The reason being massive support we got from Jammu.
Right.
I think that's a very important message that those who are planning to form the government in the state must remember that they don't have any mandate from Jammu, and Jammu's mandate is with BJP. So we all have to work together for the good progress and development of the state.
You know, Ram Madhavji, that's my next question. Omar Abdullah was on this program about 5 minutes back, less than that, in which he said very, very significantly, he's willing to keep 370 aside for now, number one. He says there is no reason to have an antagonistic relationship with the BJP in Kashmir's interest, and the BJP, he says, has no interest in having an antagonistic relationship potentially with the National Conference. He says he has to work with Raj Bhavan, he has to work with the centre, because he has to get the job done for people in the state, obviously. How would you respond to those remarks by the man who's going to be the next Chief Minister of Jammu and Kashmir?
Firstly, our hearty congratulations to him. It's a well-deserved victory for them. Just as we swept off entire Jammu region, they also made extraordinary gains in the entire Kashmir Valley. So naturally, we congratulate him, and he is going to stake the claim for forming the government. Our best wishes for him. And as far as the future of the government or the functioning of the government is concerned, you know, Prime Minister Modi doesn't discriminate between state and state because of which political party is in power. That's not the way BJP functions. That's what we learned from Modiji. So that's not the way in which BJP in Jammu and Kashmir is also going to function. We will certainly work for the good of the state. When I say good of the state, as I mentioned earlier, we represent, our predominant representation is from Jammu. We work for the welfare and well-being of people of Jammu. There won't be any compromises. We will fight for the rights and developmental challenges of Jammu region. But at the same time, we will be definitely willing to cooperate with the government in matters that help the state grow, state develop. There is no doubt about it.
And Mr. Rama, the fact is that the BJP did not even open its account in the valley. Is that a matter of concern for you?
Not necessarily a matter of concern, but it's certainly a challenge for us. You know, we cannot all the time be saying that, we have swept off the entire Jammu region, so we are so happy and all that. That's not going to be sufficient. Maybe next 5 years, we have to really work hard towards expanding our footprint in Kashmir Valley. Having said it, I just wanted to underscore one point here. In one seat in Kashmir, we got it in 19 seats. In one seat, our candidate came very close to victory. I mean, he lost by just 1,000 votes.
Right.
You can imagine BJP's candidate losing the election by 1,000 votes. Means today, we have been able to, probably capture the imagination of the people to some extent. It's not enough to win seats yet, but I'm sure, on a lighter note, may I remind you that Congress Party has been fighting elections in Kashmir for last 7 decades, and they still have 2 to 4 to 5 seats only.
They were down 6
from
last time.
There is a particular mood.
Ram Madhavji.
But we won't take that long, I'm saying. We won't take 70 years to reach there. We will, next 5 years, we will try to get a good foothold.
So Ram Madhavji, there's been a process. The special status of Kashmir was revoked. There was a period when elections were not held. We've had wonderful elections in the state. It's been the demand of so many parties that there is a restoration of statehood. That was what Omar Abdullah also said, that he wants to work with the center and he hopes that happens. Do you believe, sir, that that is logically the next big step for Jammu and Kashmir, restoration of statehood?
Oh, yeah. First of all, the first point that you mentioned, probably the significance of it probably needs to be understood by the rest of the country properly. You know, Jammu and Kashmir always had a big component which used to boycott elections.
Yes. Yes.
That component used to be like Hurriyat, Jamaat-e-Islami. These parties used to boycott every election. We were not there at that time. Even those days also, they used to boycott elections. But do you know, in this election, not only Hurriyat components, not only Jamaat, they voted, supported the election, but they even contested in the elections. That is the real good achievement of our democracy. Today, there is nobody in the Kashmir Valley who is saying that I won't participate, I'm boycotting. There is no boycott. Everybody, including Jamaat and including Hurriyat, have joined the process, which is a real good victory for us. As far as statehood is concerned, our leadership has committed it on the floor of the house.
Okay. And so in terms of a time period,
Prime Minister has repeatedly said it.
As a close observer, Ram Madhavji, as a very close follower, what is a logical time period? I know it's not up to you to decide, but do you believe that, are we looking at months, maybe a year? What is your sense of it?
My feeling is that, certainly the Union Territory will get statehood. That is one commitment even Prime Minister gave at the time of the campaigning also. Last week itself he said it, no, we will certainly give the statehood to Jammu and Kashmir UT. It will happen. But you remember one thing, Jammu Kashmir has traveled a lot of distance in the last 5 to 10 years. It gave up that complete terrorist identity today. It's a very peaceful state. We have traveled a distance in terms of separatism also. As I mentioned to you, today even Jamaat has joined the political process, democratic process. It's a big achievement for our country, our democracy. So those in power in this state should be reassuring to the people in Delhi that they won't bring those tendencies back into this region. Then okay. Full statehood is possible. Now, here are people who have been demanding release of all the terrorists in jail, demanding restoration of Article 370. With that kind of attitude, if they go to the assembly in the state and then demand that give me statehood because I have to release political prisoners, separatists and terrorist leaders and all, that becomes problematic for larger national security issues. Otherwise, yes, we are in favor of this UT getting statehood sooner than later.
Okay. Mr. Ram Madhav, there is Neerja Chaudhary in the studio, also Professor Sandeep Shastri. They have, they'll be pitching in for, with some questions as well. Neerja Chaudhary, go ahead.
Mr. Ram Madhav, implicit in the mandate is that Jammu and the valley work together. You represent Jammu, then NC represents the valley. Now, both sides in the state would like the restoration of statehood. I'm only pursuing what Vishnu was saying earlier. You know, to say as soon as possible, as soon as is feasible, every party, your party has declared we will do it, your leadership has declared we will do it, other parties have demanded it. So what is the hitch? Why not a clear timeline? Okay, a year down the line, 8 months down the line, we will do it.
No, if that is your suggestion, I will certainly carry that suggestion to our leadership. Can we give a timeline for that? But those in the government will take the decision at an appropriate time. I can only say that much. Because Jammu and Kashmir is not like all other states. There are certain issues that the government has to keep in mind. That's why I said earlier, we have traveled a long distance from what it used to be 10 years ago or 15 years ago to today. We do not want to lose those benefits or those advantages that we gained over the last few years. And once that is ensured and we are reassured of that, definitely statehood will be given, and what shape and form that statehood will take. I mean, ultimately, when I say statehood, there is no one format. Different types of formats exist for statehood also. What format does this UT take when it becomes a state will be decided by the parliament, because that is the prerogative of the parliament. And in the parliament today, we have enough number of members from all different parties. I'm sure they will take an appropriate view on which type of statehood to be extended.
Professor
Ram Madhav ji, a while ago when we had Omar Abdullah ji on this show, he made this point that keeping in mind reality of circumstances, he would keep aside the Article 370 issue and take the other issue of statehood forward. Now, do you not see that as a welcome first sign for this reconciliation and bridge building and trust building between various players who will be part of the process of taking the politics and development of the of Jammu and Kashmir forward?
Certainly, undoubtedly. If only I take his words on his face value, yeah, of course, I agree with you. But do you know the statements that came out of National Conference Party in Kashmir today? Have you followed them? I tell you what those statements were. They said, they claimed that it was a mandate for our demand for restoration of Article 370. While I say it's not a mandate for that, because I have analyzed it enough in the last few hours. They got only 23% popular vote in the entire state. Okay, I understand that's not exactly about the Kashmir Valley. In the valley, they got around less than 35%. But there also, the other parties which are not demanding restoration of 370 had majority. But the rhetoric in the valley is that no, this is a mandate for our demand for restoration of 370. So this has been the tendency of this leadership in Kashmir, especially Mr. Abdullah and Muftis, that one thing they say in Valley and completely different thing to us in studios in Delhi. As long as that tendency continues, it will be difficult.
To your question, the primary point that whether we should work together, of course we should work together for the important reason that now we have to protect the interests of Jammu, which has voted en masse to us. For that also we have to work with them.
All right, so walk, what you're saying, Ram Madhavji, is that they need to walk the talk. Hmm. It's one thing to make the statements, but it's you need to be consistent everywhere. So people in Jammu have to and Kashmir have to be told the same thing as what is being told on television. I think that's a point that the National Conference leadership may pick up on. But I would suggest, Ram Madhavji, it's a very, very positive sort of sense we're getting from Omar Abdullah that he wants to work together with the center. And a very positive sense from you when you say and you remind us that, look, that's what the BJP does. It's our job to work with the with states, whichever state it is, because it's our job to help people. And that's what governance is all about. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.
Maria. My pleasure.
Yes.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for speaking to NDTV. So with that, it's a wrap from us. But a word from both Professor Sandeep Shastri on the day and how exciting it has been. You know, we thought that it will be a cliffhanger in Jammu and Kashmir. The Jammu and Kashmir has given a clear mandate and it's a complete upset in Haryana.
Maria, I would say at the end what I normally say when we have had such a roller coaster day. I think at the end of the day, when you look at the Haryana and Jammu and Kashmir verdict, the voter of India has clearly spoken. The voter of Jammu and Kashmir and the voter of Haryana has clearly spoken. And that is the real strength of our democracy.
Okay.
I would just add to that, the Indian voters in Dabad always bringing a surprise.
Absolutely.
And what a fascinating verdict day it has been, Vishnu.
Remarkable day, absolutely. There'll be a lot more to discuss tomorrow as the government formation exercise begins. But I suspect all our political leaders are taking a bit of a breath, at least those with the winning parties. But let's see what the Congress plans next. Are they going to let things go as far as Haryana is concerned, or will they continue with question marks on the election process itself? We'll have to wait and see. We'll continue to track these very, very big stories. Stories which impact millions of lives in our country in these two states. For the moment, from Maria and me and the entire NDTV team, good night.